on page 635. Let me pray for us as we begin. Lord, we do thank you for the book of Proverbs and for this series that we're going to be covering over the next few weeks. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand. May we begin with the fear of the Lord, that we might receive knowledge and instruction and understanding to live lives that bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're beginning on the book of Proverbs. Now, Proverbs is a wonderful book. It's a book that we sometimes isn't easy to preach on because of the way it's structured. If you know the book of Proverbs, you'll know that the sayings that dominate the book are not the easiest to find a way of structuring for a sermon series, because you can't just say, let's do chapter 15, because the number of thoughts that you'd be having in chapter 15 would be too great for a sermon. So what we are going to do is group some of the Proverbs thematically as we go through. Now, I want to just say, as we begin the series on Proverbs, it is a wonderful book, and I highly commend it to you. I hope that some of you have been reading the book of Proverbs. It is well worth a study, not just a one-off study, but constantly going back to the Proverbs, because they are so helpful, as we're going to try and think about a little this morning. Now, there are two books I could mention to you on the next slide. If you want to think more about Proverbs as we go through the series yourselves, of course, we're going to be doing them in home groups. So if you're in a home group, then you'll be able to cover with your home group much of what we're going to learn on Sunday mornings as well there. If you're not in a home group, do speak to me afterwards and I can find a way of putting you in touch with all our coordinators. But these two books would also be very helpful, either if you're in a home group or not. The Way of Wisdom by Tim Keller is a year of daily devotions in the book of Proverbs. That would be a great thing if you want to have a New Year's resolution. Have a look out for that. And another classic on the book of Proverbs is Bill Hybels' book that he wrote about 20 years ago called Making Life Work. So do have a look out for either of those two books. You can get them from any Christian bookseller or on the internet easily if you'd like to. This morning we're going to introduce the theme of wisdom and the book of Proverbs. And what is wisdom? I think this is one of the reasons I wanted to do this series, because I think this is an area that actually gets massively overlooked in the modern church, really. On the next slide, what I've put is wisdom is the bridge between prayer and action. Wisdom is the bridge between prayer and action. Now, don't take that and push it too hard, because it's only an aspect of the truth what I've just said there, but let me try and explain it to you. Often in church life, you'll find some Christians emphasize the spiritual. And so everything is seen in a kind of spiritual lens. All we need to do is let go and let God. And so for such Christians, we would tend to think the most important thing we should do is pray. In any situation, all we should do is pray. Then you'll get other Christians who are kind of like action Christians, and they're like, no, we need to get out there and do something. And they're always frustrated, and everything's too slow, and we need to make changes and break new ground, and let's push the church forward, and let's move it and shake it and go for it. The diocese had a prayer day a couple of years ago that they called the whole diocese to come for at the cathedral, and I went down there and a few of us did, and they had a prayer board in which you could write your prayer requests or your prayers and stick them on the board on a post-it note. And I was looking at this board at one point and I noticed that someone had written, why are we doing all this stopping and praying? We should be getting on and doing something. Guess what I did? I took it down and threw it in the bin. Because it's like, you can't just have that attitude. Nor can you just have the attitude of, let's only pray. Let go and let God, as if there's never anything for us to do. But what is the bridge between those two things? How can I take what I'm praying for and act in such a way that pleases God? Not just act. I've prayed, now I'm just going to go for it. Wisdom is the bridge. It's how you go from your prayer life, from the spiritual life of God honoring, to the daily life of activity, but to do it in such a way that it is actually effective, helpful, and pleasing to God and to us. Wisdom is the wisdom is the bridge, if you like. Now, let me just say, again, this is just an idea, and it needs to be counterbalanced by other ideas. Of course, there are times when the most important thing to do is simply to pray and let God do it for you. And he often does do that in the miraculous way. Of course, he often responds to our prayers in a miraculous way that does hardly require any effort on our part. I'm not denying that. But it is also important to know that God has called us to use our time, our talents, our energy, and serve him, act on his behalf. And we can't also not neglect that aspect. But the key is the link between my prayer life, how I want to honor God, and what I want to do in my life. The link between doing that well, the bridge, is wisdom. Proverbs is fundamentally about our character. It's about building a character, an internal life, in which I am able to make wise choices that honor God, that make decisions that please him. That's what Proverbs is about. It's about saying, how can I have a character that acts in a way that pleases God and does good things, genuinely does good things. Not just that I act, but that I act well. Have you ever, we just finished Christmas, and often this you'll get this kind of thing in Christmas presents. But it's not just about gift giving, but things that people will sometimes do. Have you ever had one of those occasions where someone wants to be genuinely helpful to you? They've got a genuine and sincere internal desire to help you. And they use that desire to go and do something, either give you something or do something for you, but actually that thing is not helpful to you. It's actually, in fact, sometimes it's unhelpful. But they've got the genuine desire to help you, but they've done something that doesn't help you. Well, the key ingredient that's missing in that scenario between my desire to help someone and my activity, the key ingredient, the bridge that's missing sometimes, is wisdom. It's not enough just to have the internal desire to help someone and the willingness to do something. You also need wisdom to know what to do to be effective. It's the bridge between my desire to honor Christ, my willingness to act for him. Wisdom gives me the ability to do it, and to do it well. It's a key ingredient. If you want to help someone, you want to help someone, and you're willing to do something, you also need wisdom, so that you know how to do what's going to help them. And sometimes that means doing nothing, incidentally. Sometimes the best thing I can do for someone is not to do anything. Wisdom will give you the ability to make those kind of judgments. It will build our character so that we are able to act in such a way that we genuinely help people and bring glory to God. That's what wisdom's all about. So I'm going to say a few things about wisdom in our introductory from our introductory chapters, and maybe we'll look at a couple of proverbs along the way. So the first point I want to make from the readings that we just had read to us by Tom is that wisdom is relational. Okay, wisdom is relational. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's one of the most famous verses in the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What does that mean? It means relating to the Lord as the Lord is the starting point to gaining wisdom. Wisdom is not just a truth. It's not just a thing written in a book. It's actually dependent upon a relationship. That is really important to remember. Of course, in one sense, wisdom is a truth. It's something that I can look up in the book of Proverbs and read wisdom. But if I divorce those ideas from my relationship with God, then it will never lead to true wisdom in my heart. Because wisdom is a relational thing. It comes through the fear of the Lord. In fact, the second reading that we had talks about how we have to cry out for wisdom, to seek it. We have to call out for it. Who are we calling out to? Of course, we're calling out to the Lord. For from the mouth of the Lord comes wisdom. So mustn't turn the concept of wisdom into simply a truth, a fact, an answer. It's about, fundamentally, it's dependent upon a relationship with Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now that means, incidentally, that wisdom is not located in me. That is a fundamental mistake of the sinful humanity, to imagine that I, in myself, have access to wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom means that I do not. Wisdom is located outside of myself. There was a program that was very popular 20 years ago, so The X-Files. The truth is out there, do you remember? And they had to go searching for it because they knew the truth wasn't in here. It was out there somewhere, and unless I did the search, I wouldn't have the truth. It's the same with wisdom. The truth is not in here. It's in Christ. What marks a wise person in the book of Proverbs is that a wise person relentlessly pursues something that they do not have and that they know they do not have. That's what's going on. If you call out for wisdom, if you seek it like treasure, the wise in Scripture are those who relentlessly pursue something they know is outside of themselves, that is located in Christ. The mark of the fool is self-satisfaction. Believe in yourself is the motto of the fool. I am self-satisfied. I have what I need. I don't need anything. I'm fine as I am. My character, forget it. I'm fine. Well then, one thing you can be certain of, you will not have wisdom because it is not located in you and it's not located in me. The wise relentlessly pursue wisdom because they know they don't have it. They know it's located in Christ and is accessed relationally. It is also, incidentally, why we should not think of the book of Proverbs as simply think of it as a book of answers, as if it can be divorced from our relationship with Christ. That would be a mistake. The book of Proverbs isn't an answer book, like the Q&A of life. Rather, what happens as I study Proverbs is God changes my character internally. That's what's going on. Wisdom, verse chapter 2 says, will enter your heart. In other words, it will take over and start to give you a wise character. And there are many decisions that all of us are facing right now, and you can't simply treat Proverbs as if I can open it up at the right page and it will give me the exact right answer for what I'm facing. I think that's a naive reading. Rather, over time it shapes my character so that I am able to make decisions that are wise in the face of what is facing me. That's what happens. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. As I relate to him, as I study his word revealed in the book of Proverbs, so he shapes my character. Wisdom goes into my heart and enables me to make wise choices. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that sometimes there are occasions where there is an individual proverb that exactly fits the situation I'm facing. That does sometimes happen. But fundamentally, I would say the most important thing is to remember that the book of Proverbs shapes our characters so that we make wise decisions. So wisdom is relational. Secondly, wisdom is practical. It is about the everyday. That's what's so lovely about this book, it relates to so many different daily aspects of life. It's the most practical of books, Proverbs. In fact, one commentator says this, and it will appear on the next slide. Proverbs moves in the realm of personal dealings, asking what a person is like to live with or to employ, how he manages his affairs, his time, and himself. This good lady, for instance, does she talk too much? That cheerful soul, is he bearable in the early morning? And this friend who is always dropping in, here is some advice for him and for that rather aimless lad. It offers a key to life. Wisdom is so practical. It's so down to earth. It's about how I use my tongue, and my time. It's about what I do with my wallet and my workplace, how I stay healthy, how I stick to tasks. It's about protection and avoidance as well. It teaches me to steer clear of things that will harm me, how to avoid fights and foolishness, how to speed up and to slow down, how not to shipwreck my life and bring terrible misery my way. And above all, it is about doing all these things in a way that pleases and brings glory to God. There's a lovely proverb, which again will come up on the next slide. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Do you know that that proverb is given to you for free? God has just said, I'll just dish that out for nothing. And yet, behind that proverb, the people are doing all kinds of research now into why is it that things like Facebook and Instagram cause depression in people. There's so much research into why that is the case. And the answer is because they create envy. People only put on Instagram the great things that are going on in their life. They don't take photos of the terrible things. And when you look at it, you think, oh my goodness, all these people are having a great life and I'm not. Well, what's that envy going to do to you? It's going to rot your bones. And that doesn't mean, of course, to avoid, simply avoid Instagram and Facebook. It means to be wise in the way you treat those things. Remember that, in fact, they are just putting things out there that often people are just saying the great things that are going on. They're not necessarily telling you that this morning they got up, they couldn't control their temper, shouted at the wife, pushed the kids out the way and stomped out the door. All you get is the wonderful lunch they had. Envy will rot your bones. That's what it'll do. It'll bring depression. And that's where Proverbs moves. That's the world it moves in. The daily life. It's totally practical. Tim Keller, again on the next slide, says, Proverbs calls us to study, to think, to learn the practical discipline of centering all our thoughts and actions on God. Indeed, one of the main messages of Proverbs is, you've never really thought enough about anything because it's so practical and down to earth. It's saying everything needs thought. Proverbs is about how, having trusted God, we should then live that faith out. So Proverbs, wisdom is relational. Wisdom is practical. And then finally, I need to say this as a by way of introduction to the whole series. If you're going to start reading the book of Proverbs, which I totally commend you to do, in your home groups, on your own, then please do just a few things to say about the wisdom of Proverbs. A third point and final point. The wisdom of Proverbs is poetic. Now, you may not spot this so easily in English, but the Hebrew on which the English is, from which the English is translated, is clearly poetry. The way it is put in the Hebrew and the way it's marked in the Hebrew text show that the book of Proverbs is poetry. And that means you have to know some things and be careful in some ways to remember what that means. And the first thing to remember, because the wisdom that comes to us in the book of Proverbs is poetry, the first thing is that what that means is that it needs careful thought. That's the next slide. It needs thought. You have to actually meditate upon it. That's the way poetry works. Why do people write in poetry and they don't just give you bullet points? Right, here's a few ideas I've had, and I'll just give you them as a bullet point. Instead, a lot of people say, no, I'm going to write this as a poem. Why? Because a poem is a way of telling people to think, to meditate, to chew upon it. It encourages you to do that. It invites you to think hard, to consider, to study, to meditate. That's why people write poetry. Of course, it also is a beautiful way of writing, a memorable way of writing. That's also why it's in poetry, because it's memorable. A bullet point is easy to forget. Poetry is much less easy to forget. But it means that that Proverbs do need thought. They yield their meaning in meditation, not by simply just going, all right, move on. we have to think about them carefully. I'll give you an example, one proverb. When I was at my last year as a curate in my last church, I decided I would go and I'd read the book of Proverbs, and we had this lovely park right on our doorstep. It was this huge, great country park, and so I spent a lot of time walking around and just thinking about Proverbs. And it dawned on me as I was doing that, that actually it was so helpful to do it like that because they needed thought before they yielded their meaning. And often there's layers of meaning in Proverbs as well. You can't... So for example, one time on this walk, I read this one. Where there are no oxen, the manger is empty. But from the strength of an ox comes an abundant harvest. And I was just like, what is that talking about for ages? Thinking, you know, isn't that just obvious? Like... You know, obviously, if you've got no cows, the manger's empty, whatever. So I was chewing and chewing and chewing until it dawned on me, what is the proverb telling me as I chewed it over? It's actually a warning. The abundant harvest comes from the strength of the ox. But that means that you need to fill the manger. Where there are no oxen, the manger is empty. Okay, so you can lose filling the manger, but it will mean you lose the oxen. But you will therefore lose the abundant harvest. In other words, what it made me realize was, those little daily irritations that you don't really want to do, you think, I'd rather get rid of filling the manger. It gets on my nerves, getting up early and putting stuff in that manger. That really ticks me off over time. You can lose that daily grind. But if you do so, you'll lose the abundant harvest. There's a link between the full manger and the incredible harvest that's coming. Don't overlook the daily things that need your attention because they're important. And when I realized, like, oh man, there are so many things in my daily life that I do that to. So many things I'm always wanting to get rid of, reading books to the children. At night time, I don't want to do that again. But when I get rid of the reading of the book to the children at the night time, it will lose the abundant harvest of them growing up and becoming mature and healthy adults. Jam the Proverbs. They will give you so much to think about, but they need careful thought. Secondly, as well, the fact that they're poetry, firstly, means they need careful thought. Secondly, it means they need caution. A proverb is a pithy and memorable saying. That's what it's designed to be. And any individual proverb is a pithy, memorable saying, but it fits within the whole context of both the book of Proverbs and the Bible. What you cannot do is say, I'm going to lift this one proverb and make an entire doctrine out of it. A proverb is not an essay on a theme, as if they wrote the Proverbs for that one proverb to be an essay on the whole theme of money and giving or something. No, it's a pithy, memorable saying about an aspect of a subject. And that's important to remember because some of the proverbs have led people, when they've built entire doctrines on one or two proverbs, and so for example, people end up with a prosperity gospel because in Proverbs it says things about how if you give to the Lord, you'll receive back. Well, that's an aspect of the truth. It's a pithy, memorable saying about a part of the truth of giving. It's not the whole thing. That doesn't mean, of course, that an individual proverb is not true. It is true, but it is a part of the truth. An individual proverb is a part of the truth, not the whole truth. For example, on the next slide, it is true to say, bananas are good for you. That is a truth. But if you take that truth and say, that is the only truth that I need for my life with regard to eating, all I need is what you've just said to me. Bananas are good for you, so I'll only eat bananas. They become bad for you if you do that. Because that is not the whole truth. It is a part of the truth, not the whole truth. And that's what the Proverbs are like. So they need caution. Don't say about one proverb, this is the whole thing about this subject. They need to be balanced against each other. They need to be seen in the larger context of the whole book of Proverbs and the whole Bible, of course, ultimately. But often you'll find a proverb says one thing in one way, and then something very slightly different in another way, and then it says something that almost seems like a contradiction, but it isn't. It's just a way of helping you to see the subject from different angles. So Proverbs is poetry, therefore it needs thought. Proverbs is poetry, therefore they are pithy, memorable sayings, but they're not. You need caution about making them into the whole truth. And finally, let me just finish on one last thought about the book of Proverbs and the poetry therein. And that is this word parallelism. Hebrew poetry is based on this idea of parallelism quite often. In other words, what happens in Hebrew poetry is you say one thing and then you say it again in a slightly different way. Or you might say something and then say the opposite. And Hebrew poetry works on that. It's called parallelism. As an example, the next slide has what's a very clear way of working. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. So it's just made a comment, and now it's going to say the same thing but in different language. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. That's parallelism, and that's the way Hebrew poetry works. Now why am I telling you that? I'm telling you because if you realize that, you begin to look at the problem and mine it for all it's worth. Because what the parallelism tells you is that the wise man of the first half of the proverb is the same as the righteous man of the second. And so now you're beginning to think, oh, wisdom and righteousness are linked together. That's the way it's working there. The same truth is being said twice. So a wise man is also a righteous person. Or he will be wiser still is paralleled by, in the second half, by he will add to his learning. So becoming wiser still is adding to learning. In other words, wisdom comes through learning. Now it's important to be able to do that because once you begin to see that and see how it works in the Proverbs, it gives you greater access to what's going on there. In other words, how do I become wiser still? I add to my learning. Learning and wisdom are linked together there, or becoming wiser still. I haven't got time to go in any more detail than what I've just said, but those books that I mentioned at the beginning, if you want to know more about that subject, do cover it a little bit more and help us to see some of those poetic aspects. But I'm going to stop now and pray. Let me just summarize, and then I'll pray. We have learned this morning that wisdom is practical. It's about everyday life. Wisdom is relational. It comes through our walk with Christ. And we've learned some of the ideas that come because it's poetry. So let me just pray for us. Lord, we thank you for this great book of Proverbs, this great theme of having and building character, of having wisdom that enables us to honor you and to please you and to serve you effectively. We pray, Lord, that you would help us as we consider this great book together, that you would build our character and grant to us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.